Da ønsker vi hjertelig velkommen til denne episoden av Dirigent Loftet. Mitt navn Trond Husebø, og med meg har jeg Florian Schönwiese. Og i dag skal vi snakke om lederskap. So, Florian, very, very nice to have you here. We're just talking. You are a true Norgesvenn, so it's very nice to have you visiting here in Oslo. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Mm-hmm. So I'm an Austrian violinist. I studied in Vienna and London, and then I worked as a freelance violinist for a couple of years, especially playing in Concentus Musicus with Nicolaus Hanoncourt, but also orchestras like Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie. Then I worked with conductors like Daniel Harding and Paavo Järvi, and really great soloists and amazing time. But then I somehow got into management and administration in cultural areas, and then at the end I ran also two little companies, Ernst Krenek Foundation and the Ernst Krenek Museum, and this is where I also did an MBA program, because I had to be in charge of quite a lot of money. And then I thought, well, being a violinist, maybe I should learn some tools to be able to be in charge properly. And this, when I did this MBA program, I came in contact with people from the private business, and this is where the exchange between them and me started. And I realized there's quite a lot of parallels, and the metaphor of the conductor being an important leader, and there's so many levels in this metaphor that I started to explore, and then I started basically a project where we invited business leaders to conduct a small ensemble, and we musicians from the inside of the team of specialists, they were leading, give feedback and suggest things what they could do differently. So we, as the team, really give our best.
Yeah, how does that work? Because they don't have a musical background, and we are used to having like demand of our conductors that they know even more than the musicians themselves. So how does that work?
Well, the main idea is that we get rid of all the strategies and all the brain knowledge to only see the personalities, and because they don't have any background and no experience at all in classical music. Nowadays, we also work with football trainers, so it's very obvious they are not the biggest specialists in classical music. But because they don't have any strategies, and because they don't have any, you know, all those empty phrases and the blah blah, and they can't hold on masks where to hide behind, it's very obvious in when we play music, because music is happening in this moment, where the strength and especially the potential of those leaders are. And so for me, this is the core of the personalities we are looking for. I mean, they have to prepare a little bit.
Mm.
So I send them a very short piece of music in advance, only 2 and 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Something
because
like.
They can learn that by ear, basically.
Yes. So the task is they should listen to it several times and have some kind of story or picture or feeling to this music, and this is what they tell us, and this is their kind of
their
vision.
Internal response,
exactly. Yes. So this is all we need, basically, and then they tell us their idea, their picture, their story. Some of them, of course, the brainy people, they do also all sorts of research about the composer and the time it was written. It's also very interesting. We learned a lot in the last years. And then we when then they tell us their story and we try to translate it into music, and this is where it starts. I mean, this of course those workshops, they are not musical workshops. The working with music is only the door to their personalities, to open the potential, basically.
So, but you as a musician, you said you have a long experience and you have played with many of the world's best conductors, top tier conductors. And you're sitting there with these business leaders who are trying to express themselves to you. Do you immediately see the similarities in the types? Do you recognize the leader types that you remember from your playing days? Do you see the same kind of archetypes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And only when we started doing those workshops, I realized sitting in the orchestra, in the professional orchestra, when a new conductor comes in, I wasn't aware of this before, but it got very clear to me after latest 3, 4, 5 minutes, we all know this person. And I wasn't aware of this before. I thought, you know, because then you have a rehearsal, and after 1.5 hours in the interval, you start talking about it as musicians.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, it takes 1.5 hours, and then you kind of know a little bit of the person. But I realized after very few minutes, it's very clear the attitudes of this and the values of this person, of the conductor. And that's the same. It's the same, of course, when we work with leaders. And that's the core of being a leader. You have to be aware of your attitudes and your values. And if you realize, and this is, of course, what we're pushing those leaders to, if you realize you only have to take the issue you're working on yourself and the people around yourself really seriously, then that's half of your work, and then you can really explore your personality, and so the where one of the most important parallels between a conductor and leaders in other areas for me is that you have to. How do you say? You have to learn or explore your personality and your innermost.
You have to get to know your personality,
yes,
actually.
Exactly.
You have to be true to yourself.
I mean, you won't be able to really get to know yourself totally, probably.
No.
But you have to, start this path of learning you.
But that's one of the things that actually is the most rewarding things about conducting, that I feel personally, that you actually have a big part of the job is actually getting to know yourself, and you have to also, if you want to develop as a conductor, you have to develop as a person.
Yeah,
and those two are very, very closely related. But tell us a bit more about because you must have seen so many people. Find this out and find their way and discover things about themselves in the process.
Yeah, that's a rewarding thing about this work. It's really uplifting for everyone in the end. If we really catch those potentials and they really live them at some point. Most of the leaders nowadays have a lot of coachings and 360 degrees feedback tools and whatever. So in their brains, they know quite a lot. And nowadays, they're also quite well reflected as well. So it's changed in the last decades a lot. So, but this is all happening in the mind. It's all in the brain. And music is the great, great potential to sail around the brain,
yes,
and go straight to the core of the personality, and then the great thing is that in those settings, at some point the brain and the feelings meet again, and then suddenly it makes exactly this is what I've been looking for all the last years. And suddenly they can really feel in the whole body what it feels like if I use whatever they were looking for and they've been thinking about so much.
Because they recognize, I would assume they recognize themselves. I mean, this is kind of shortcut in this setting with music. It becomes a shortcut to process that might take days or weeks or months in business life, and all of a sudden you get the shortcut. Yeah. They recognize this themselves.
That absolutely. Yes. I remember one. Nice example you can tell about, because normally it's very very individual and it's not so easy to have only 3, 4, 5 archetypes or something. Yeah. It's very very individual, and this is also the nice thing about this, because it gets so clear to them. It's you can't run after this is how you have to be as a leader. But you have to go inside yourself and find your own way. And there's one nice example when we were doing this in this Solstrand programmet, where we've been part of in the last 10 years. One of the really strong charismatic leader, knowing that he's a good leader.
Yeah.
and
the real alpha male.
Yes, real alpha male. Very good in talking, of course. And then he told us this lovely picture about the piece of music he was listening to. And we were really keen of playing it, because we liked this picture and we could relate to it. And it is put very well in very a lot of fantasy in it. And then we started to play, and he was leading it. But then he was, because he was this strong guy, he was interfering with us. And he was shouting into it, don't think too much, feel it, and blah, blah, blah. So he was really interfering in our work. Yeah. Immediately. And we really had to stop playing and put our instruments down. And we said, come on, you told us this nice picture. Let us do now what we can do best. And let us at least a few minutes. and then we worked with him to find this balance of pushing the team, of course, and putting a lot of energy into the team, but also stepping back and enjoying what the others are doing and being present, of course, and being very concentrated. But just observing and letting the specialists do what they can do best. And in the end, he managed to do this. And this really strong alpha male, and then he had tears in his eyes in the end. And this was really touching his whole body. And afterwards, he told me, he was the CEO of this big company. He hired all the best specialists. And half a year later, they all ran away because of him, because he didn't let them do. And he knew this, of course, in his brain. And this is what all the feedback he was getting is exactly that. But he didn't manage to stop himself, because he didn't know how it feels, really in the body, when they can do their thing and flourish. And this is what he experienced there. And from that, from only, you know, this is a moment that can change a little bit. And then from this moment on, I'm sure when he wants to get up from his desk and run into the office of the other guy, he won't do it as often as he would do it before, because he knows he can trust the experts.
How can we take this back and, like, let's say for young conductors who are in the process of finding themselves, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, the difficult thing about being a conductor, you have to really concentrate on music and in music history and theory and learn all the scores and all the music and everything. So you're thrown into a huge pool of tasks and musical things, and you know the core of what we're doing there is that we take the business people out of their comfort zone where they've been working for years and years, and putting it into another area so they can peel off all the knowledge and techniques and
Also, because you help them, because you also peel away many of the demands you normally would have for a conductor. You just ignore that and say, well, exactly. Obviously this person doesn't know how to do a proper 7/8 beat or upbeat even. Yes. Yeah. But still, sorry.
And so this is why it's difficult. It would be difficult for us working with a conductor,
yeah.
Because then they of course get stuck in the world.
Yeah.
So as a conductor, I think it's very very important to find a place where you can get rid of all the technical and musical stuff, and there are enough places. For instance, being a father or a mother, this is a very important leadership role, and this is where you. We've got three children, and they're grown up now. But I mean, you are thrown back to your personality quite a lot, having children.
Yes,
and if you're aware of this, but then, of course, it's also difficult because this is also an everyday story, being parents. You can observe you there if you manage, or because it is it's all. I'm totally convinced. It's all about, you know, as I we talked before on the telephone. It's development is about.
Yes.
What's in there, deep down there, and the nice thing when we having worked with leaders for 12, 13 years now is that every person is just right as they are, yeah. Down there, yes. in the most parts, and all our job is only, so to speak. To find those strengths and your abilities and so it's I think a very important task of every leader, and especially also conductors, to be aware of the fact that you have to put the music away on a regular basis to find your personality,
live a life, basically. Yeah.
Yes, and live a life, but you know, if you, the danger is by living a life is that it's getting a routine.
Yeah.
And you have to find ways out of the routine. This is what we are doing with these business people.
Yeah.
And this is, but this is possible, of course. I mean, if you've got holidays, go to a totally different place.
Yeah.
If you've got weekends off, try something totally different. Or if you ways to go into totally different settings as a musician, go to a business meeting. An open one, or something, or engage with athletes, so you have to find, and ideally, you find something you can really relate to within yourself. So, for instance, working with football trainers,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense for me, because of course I like watching football.
Yes,
and suddenly I found a way into this. Into the system, and now I'm also a mentor of football trainers in the Austrian Football Verbund education, and I'm sitting in the back of the football trainers and going into the cabin in the interval, watching them. So it's
and
amazing.
How they
it's great.
Work. Yes, yes. But that is also. I mean, it at some point it seems that it would work the other way around also.
Yeah, definitely. I learned a lot from all those people.
Yeah.
Us being musicians, we learned so much from the business people, of course.
You know, it's interesting. Just a small personal anecdote that just exemplifies this perfectly. When I was very young, and we were visiting my uncle, and he's a leader in business life, and he has a quite a big business. And he took me out for lunch and he just talked to me, because I was thinking about this this thing that you say, that you immediately, I mean, you make up an impression. You have quite a good idea of who the leader is within the first few minutes. And I remember now he was talking about exactly that, how would he prepare himself before going into a meeting with a new customer, not necessarily what his strategies would be, but who he was, and how important that was for his success. So I very much subscribe to the idea that this is a two-way street.
And the other thing is, because you said your uncle was just listening to himself, basically. This is, of course, also what we also engaged in the last 2 years, especially, is the different levels of leading, listening. Many, many different directions and levels of listening. And of course, the most important, especially for conductors, is listening to yourself. And this is what those conductors do anyway. When they prepare the piece of music, they also have to listen inside, and then they have ideally a very clear picture.
Yeah.
And then after they've listened to themselves, they go to the first rehearsal and then they listen what the orchestra is giving them.
Yes.
And then you compare it with what you've listened before to yourself, and then you start
tweaking.
Yes. and this is what business leaders sometimes tend to forget, that they have to listen to themselves first. And this is what your uncle seemed to have done very well. And there's one great TED talk by William Ury, The Art of Listening. Amazing talk, really inspiring. He's a mediator, and he was doing a lot of mediation between Russia and US, and really, really difficult situations. A great person, and there's so much in this talk about listening and finding your own thing. And this is what he also did when he, for instance, he tells the story there. This reminded me of your experience with your uncle when he had a talk with Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan.
Yeah.
How do you say? He was not really a dictator, but nearly.
Yeah, well, close to. Yes,
close to. And of course, he was very nervous. But then he just took a time to listen inside, and be aware of where the sensations in the body were. You know, getting stiff in the neck and getting nervous. And this, if you only realize what's happening there by listening inside, and where your strengths are, and what your aim and motives and intentions are, and then this is so important. And this is, of course, very important for conductors as well. And then the other really important thing, especially for conductors, but also, of course, for other leaders, is to really internalize your ideas or visions or interpretation or whatever. And I mean, the last concert with Nicholas Hanukur, we did Missa Solemnis.
Yeah.
And he told me he was preparing this piece more than 2 years before he started rehearsing with us.
Wow.
So at 85 or something,
yeah,
of course he knows this piece. He was he was a cellist in Vienna Symphony Orchestra. He's played it there with Karajan and all those kind of people. He knows the piece from inside out. But still, he had this policy. He wouldn't touch a piece for at least 5 years when he's done it, because he always wanted to look at it from as new as possible. So he hasn't done Mr. Solemnis for 10 years, and then he was working on it for more than 2 years. with his core, with all, of course, you know him. He was reading all the everything,
sources,
which is sources and,
yes,
and letters and everything. But if you are prepared in this way, of course, this it's internalized as deep as it can get, and then all the emotions and all what you're doing, you're living the whole thing, and then you don't have to think about how to move your arm anymore, because this is just part of the whole concept, basically.
Yes, because that was his strength as a conductor, as you could feel it as a musician. I mean, he is, if you are being brutally honest, his baton technique was not the best. I was trying to be diplomatic, but I appreciate your sincerity. Yes, but I mean, joke kidding aside, that was, and are also, I mean, true for many, many great conductors, is that it is their strengths as leaders,
mm-hmm,
that make them shine.
Yeah.
And that they at some point found this inner connection with themselves and the brain, so that they can fuse all these together.
Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, who I also studied with in London in the 90s, is Pablo González, conductor. He's been conducting Stavanger Symphony Orchestra a few times now.
Okay.
So he was in Norway. He's a Spanish guy, of course, and I was talking to him quite a lot about being a conductor, and he said for him it's very interesting. He's also my age, about 50 or more than 50. In the beginning, of course, is being a conductor was for him 95% music and 5% technique or psychology or whatever, and now it's turned around. Of course, music is still what's he's passionate for, of course, but he realized it's much more about, he put it in the words of realizing the flow of the energy, which is happening in a team, in an orchestra, and seeing the personalities there, and if you get opposition, it's not because you are doing something really bad or strong, mostly, but it's because they've got something they are not happy with. It might be their own situation, but it might be also the situation in the orchestra. So your job is then to set a frame and set a field where they can feel better. And this is also where I thought about a definition of leadership, because this is what people in business life want.
Yeah,
yes. And they always ask me, what is leadership for you? And at some point I came up with my definition, which is it's all about making others better,
yeah,
through your guidance and presence. So it's about making others better by being there, being present, and guiding them in a frame. So if you're aware of the fact that you are not the one who is the best, but it's about the others making better and develop the others through your guidance, this is the essence of leadership for me.
And it would demand a great deal of presence in the moment, because then you have to immediately also understand that because as you said, you go in with a plan and an internal image, and then you meet someone, and if you meet someone strong, perhaps the best result is to give them space and not to block them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
my picture of this is it's all happening in between.
Yes.
So it's not about my vision, it's not about their vision, it's all about developing what is in between and basically the underlying wholeness.
Exactly.
And this is, you know, for me it's really interesting that this concept of the wholeness is coming from, it's popping up from so many areas. Now quantum physics even is saying there's an underlying wholeness. And religion is saying there's a wholeness. And then this systemic approach of, is saying there's a wholeness, meaning you change each other all the time. Quantum physics saying the one who is observing something is changing the physical action. So it's not even the physics that's saying this is true, but it needs someone who's observing it in a way. This makes it different again. And of course, this is happening with human beings,
yes.
especially with human music. Beings. Yeah. Yes. And especially with music, which is happening in this very moment.
That also comes back to the point where we started, because it also has to resonate with who you are as a person. And I think perhaps, I hope there is even more room for the listening personalities that we over time have gone from in quotation marks, tyrants or dictators, mm-hmm. to even more team playing sense than we see now, that there are rooms, because because historically the roller conductor, have been even more prone to being one leader that rules them all. And as you say, it has changed for the better. I think we all could agree. But it will be very interesting to see if this can develop even further. If there are room for even more leadership without losing control, or control of the whole picture.
Yeah. But I mean, if you look back in the last decades, when the old music scene started again, this is where personalities were leading, like Hanukur or Herwege or Franz Brüggen or something. They were not conductors, but they led their own ensembles by their personalities. Of course, now it's changed a little bit, but this is again. But I think this is where it heads to, being. A leader through your personality and through your passion for the topic, music or business or football or whatever, and this combination is I think where we are heading, and which is very positive.
So Florian, we are very, very happy that you would join us today at Dirigentloftet. This was really, really interesting, and I think this should be of interest of many. And you have these courses for business leaders. I would argue that a lot of conductors and musicians also would benefit from your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure talking to you. It's always nice to have a person to talk to where you know, where you can put things together. And it was great talking to you. Thank you for inviting me here, and thank you.
Du hørte på Dirigentloftet. I studio i dag var Trond Husebø og Florian Skjønvise. Tekniker Sverker Rundqvist. På saksofon Petter Vettre.